Ghost Horse, you can hear all of it in about 5 or 10 minutes on WBAI.org.
Oh, people, people, don't you love this earth? We share with everything that grows. Don't you want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
They paved paradise, put up a parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? They paved paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth and telling where we gonna plant our seed,
solar power, ever see a windmill go? Feel the pull of an ocean wave, the heat from a volcano. There's so much we could do, there's so much we could know, if we listen to the earth.
Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm J.K. Canepa.
And this is Ecologic for August 13, 2019, here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. When your air or water is clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said. And special thanks to J.K. Canepa and Donna Stein for doing Ecologic 2 weeks ago. They did a great job, as you know. Don and JK also produced the Hydroponics and Aquaponics show 4 weeks ago. And the WBAI fund drive is over, and thank you everybody who became a BAI buddy during Ecologic. Now you can still help WBAI and Ecologic by going to www.givetowbai.org. Type Ecologic into the search box at www.givetowbai.org.
Coming up on today's news and announcements, calling governors about fossil fuel, a community gardens program, a honeybee workshop, the New York City Friends of Clearwater August 18th Water Festival, Big Pharma modifying search engines, Monsanto monitoring journalists, activists, and musicians, the end to nuclear weapons treaty, and wildfires in nuclear facilities.
Write down these phone numbers. Call New York Governor Cuomo at 877-235-6537 and tell him to stop the Williams Pipeline for good. We don't need fracked gas. And call New Jersey Governor Murphy at 866-586-4069 to deny the fracked gas Penn East Pipeline. Delay is not enough. Both governors talk as if they want to stop climate chaos, but their policies promote more climate chaos. Cuomo is 877-235-6537. Murphy is 866-586-4069.
And also Murphy has the ability to stop the Williams Pipeline, just as Governor Cuomo does. So give him a call. Tomorrow, we're going to Senator Todd Kominsky's office, Rockville Center, from 12 to 1, and asking or encouraging him to join the other 63 elected officials who have written a letter to the governor saying no to this pipeline. Unnecessary, destructive, expensive. Okay. There will be three events this weekend to tell you about, one each day. This Friday, the monthly New York City Friends of Clearwater program will be on community gardens. Join us. There's live music, potluck, food, drink. It's all at the Assembly Hall of Judson Church, 239 Thompson Street, just south of Washington Square Park. That's Friday, August 16th. The next day, there'll be a honeybee workshop, Saturday, August 17th at 2:30 at the beautiful 9th Street Community Garden at the northeast corner of 9th Street and Avenue C in the East Village. There's two gardens on that corner. The northeast corner. This workshop will include the basics of beekeeping for city honeybees and their importance to the urban environment. By the way, you know that the honey from city honeybees is more flavorful and diverse than honey from anywhere else, because out in the fields, the bees only find one kind of plant, but in the city, they get a whole... Okay.
Right.
It's put on by City Bees and Peas, PEAS.com, but they haven't yet put an announcement on their website, but show up. Saturday, 2:30, 9th Street and Avenue C. Speaking of gardens, Monday, the 19th, this coming Monday, come to the steps of City Hall, 10 o'clock in the morning, because we're fighting the onerous and invasive licensing agreements that have been laid on our community gardens. Bring your flowers, wear them in your hair, and come as a vegetable if you want to. And they're terrible. I won't go into it because we don't have time.
Sunday is the 11th annual New York City Friends of Clearwater Water Festival, 1 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's free, but please, it's a potluck, so bring something to share. We have different performers, wonderful, many different musical performers, plus panels on a variety of environmental topics, as befitting the late Gary Shaw, who was great at connecting the dots. He is our honoree this year. And it's going to be at the Lower East Side Ecology Center, at the East River Park, at Grand Street, at the Fireboat House, behind the ball field. So just the website will be on the website afterwards, okay? And you can take the M14A or the M22 bus to the last stop, Grand Street and FDR Drive, and then walk through the park. The entrance is on Cherry Street.
The Organic Consumers Association has an article by investigative journalist and filmmaker Mary M. Heinine on how the giant pharmaceutical companies are making it more difficult to get information on their drugs by modifying search engine algorithms. They recommend not using Google to get information on pharmaceuticals. We link to the article on organicconsumers.org from Ecologic's Ecolinks page. Organic Consumers pop-ups make it a hard website to read, though.
Opposition is growing to the proposed Dance Gamma expansion. The city of Beacon, this is good news, has joined Cold Spring, New Paltz, Rosendale, and Nassauis and Phillipstown with strong resolutions in opposition to the proposed expansion of Dance Gamma gas-fired plant from a rarely used peaker plant to a year-round facility in the flood-prone area in the town of Newburgh. Not a good idea. This is right on the Hudson River. It's time to stop investing in more fossil fuel infrastructure, and it's way past time to transition to a renewable energy economy. And by the way, Kingston, Newburgh, Saugerties, Lloyd, and Fishkill are all considering joining and putting through a resolution. So if you live near there or you know anybody who lives there, make some noise.
The United Kingdom, the UK Guardian reports that Monsanto now owned by German pharmaceutical corporation Bayer, monitors activities of journalists, nonprofits, and activists, including singer-songwriter Neil Young. It's not just the government that uses COINTELPRO tactics. The Guardian also mentioned that Monsanto paid Google to promote search results for Monsanto glyphosate Carrie Gillum that criticized her work. Another example of the lack of net neutrality.
You might remember the episode of Ecologic from June 19th last year about the worst possible nuclear environmental disaster and nuclear war. The Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty ended about 2 weeks ago. The treaty was ratified in the 80s by the Senate, 93-5. Wow. According to the Council for a Livable World, it was wildly effective at stabilizing tensions on the European continent, helping usher in the end of the Cold War.
BeyondNuclear.org asked the question, are nuclear sites prepared for increased wildfires? Simple question, right? Several nuclear facilities were in the path of one of the many wildfires in the western U.S. In April, the U.S. Nuclear Regulatory Commission changed its rule regarding plant owners to anticipate and protect against new and greater threats brought on by climate change from mandatory to voluntary. What? A wildfire near Chernobyl put radioactive ash in a plume that went worldwide. The NRC recognizes that fire is the number one threat to reactor safety and nuclear power plants, but they routinely waive fire rule violations, even though there are, on average, 10 fires a year at U.S. nuclear power plants. Help! And there will certainly be more under climate crisis conditions. The NRC has even struck the word require from its regulations, relying on luck to protect the public. I don't think so, guys. BeyondNuclear.org answers its own question. No, nuclear sites are not prepared for increased wildfires. A little shout out in respect to a wonderful hero of mine, amazing Greenpeace activist Steve Sawyer has passed away, and he did so much to under his rule or his guidance, they stopped France from testing nuclear in the oceans of in the Pacific Ocean. So, yeah, we need to have a moment of silence. Yes. Okay.
And what was his name again, so people can look him
Steve
up?
Steve Sawyer.
And one of the things WBAI can do is we contribute people who matter, people who make a difference, not just politicians and entertainers. A video version of most episodes of Ecologic appears on Manhattan Neighborhood Network two Sundays after Ecologic airs. Different cable providers have different channels, but they all air Environment TV at 11 a.m. in Manhattan every other Sunday. Charlie Olson adds great graphics. If you miss any WBAI show, it'll be on the WBAI.org archives 5 or 10 minutes after the show ends. To read the full articles we summarize on any episode of Ecologic from the past several years, we link to all those articles on the EcoLinks page of the Ecologic website, www.ecoradio.org, ecoradio.org. Our Facebook page is WBAI Ecologic, no spaces or dashes, WBAI Ecologic, and please click like. For more environmental news, go to theenvironmenttv.com, biologicaldiversity.org, or ecowatch.com. There's so much information. www.ecoradio.org is the main Ecologic webpage, and that'll get you to the past guest page, the EcoLinks page, and our own permanent archives, ecoradio.org. And, you know, there's four people in the studio right now. There's myself, Ken Gale, there's Donna Stein, J.K. Canepa, and Nydia Leaf. And and there's a fifth person who won't be on the microphone, but he's here. The reason you can get to see Ecologic as Environment TV is because Charlie Olson is here videoing. But the four of us who will be on microphone are active in about, probably between all of us, 50 different groups. I mean, it's very busy, and everybody here connects the dots. And I definitely wanted to have Nidia join on a discussion like this, because she is so active with the Granny Peace Brigade and so many other groups. But there are so many issues to cover. We have less than an hour. Where do we start? Do we start with labor issues and how they connect to the environment, or health, or the military? Where do you want to start, Nidia?
Let's start with Greta Thunberg, who's coming. She is leaving tomorrow from the UK. Somebody said maybe from Plymouth. I don't know. But she will be sailing across the Atlantic, and I am hoping she has fair winds and a smooth sail, because she is such an incredible young woman. She will be expected here the end of August. And of course, Friday, September 20th, will be the youth strike all over the world. And there is a comparable person to Greta here in New York. Her name is Alexandria Villasenor. And she's the one who, since mid-December, rain or shine, snow or sleet, has been out every Friday in front of the United Nations. So they're like twin spirits, you know? It's very exciting that these are the young people. I, as a member of the Granny Peace Brigade and as a grandmother, and seeing these young people who have a sense that I've always associated with kind of old souls, who have a feeling for the larger world and all the creatures. So, yeah, she's coming. And what everybody who is listening to this show should do and tell their friends is to sign up, because the NYPD always wants to know approximately how many people are going to show up. So how many people are going to come to Union Square on Friday, September 20th, and then walk up to Bryant Park? So what people should do is to sign up, go online. The website is strikewithus, all one word, strikewithus.org. And sign up there and say, you're going to come. So.
Now, how do you spell Greta's last name?
Thunberg. I don't think you pronounce the H, so I think you would say Thunberg, T-U-N-B-E-R-G. And Alexandria Villasenor, who is the New York City base, is V-I-L-L-A-S-E-N-O-R. And she became an activist because of the fires in California. She developed asthma, and her parents said, we can't stay here. There's just too many of these fires. So they came to New York, and she will be homeschooled. But there are these amazing young people who are pioneering this resistance because of the global scale of what is confronting everybody. And I listened to all the announcements that Donna and JK did, and you. These are battles that have gone on for so long. I mean, Monsanto has been evil from day one. And there are other outfits that we haven't even talked about that are so sort of under the radar, you know, like the Gottwald family, one of the richest families in this country that nobody knows about. They have the company that generates flame retardants. And that's in everything. You know, the Nation magazine did a piece a year ago on it. No, the name has still not surfaced. Nobody hears about them. But they were involved with the lead in gasoline. You know, when cars knocked, when the engines would knock in the early days. So you added lead to it. And then the lead destroyed the engines. But people didn't know this. Right. It was only when the military said, wait, our planes in this country and Canada and England, something's happening to them because of the lead. That's when the government said, you've got to do something. And that's when the car companies came up with the brilliant notion that every year you get a new car. You trade in the old one, you get a new one, right? And then eventually lead was phased out. So that's when this company, the Gottwald family, got into it. And they went in, they added bromide or something. I don't quite know what the transition was, but they took over the lead in the gasoline being phased out and introduced a whole new area and said, we've got to have these flame retardants in our furniture, in our children's clothing. You know. But there are all these outfits out there that keep coming up from, you know, under, they're the zombies, as somebody called them. You know, you can never quite get rid of them. Yeah.
Oh, flame retardant. My grandchildren have been poisoned by flame retardants that were used by the Air Force to test, to train their recruits, how their young folks, how to put out fires in the event of a plane crash. So all over the country, Air Forces have been poisoning the water of people, including 70,000 people in southeastern Pennsylvania, where my son and his family live. So that's a...
Yeah.
Now I have a name. Gottwald.
Yeah, I'll get you.
Gottwald?
Yeah.
God's Woods. Monsanto Sacred Mountain.
One of them is Floyd. I don't know the other brother's name, but you know they're like the Koch brothers. You know, I mean,
but they're more under the radar.
Under the radar, yeah. But the flame retardants. Well, all bases are polluted. You know, the grannies got into this through one of the raging grannies years ago, who was also a member of the Granny Peace Brigade, Corinne Willinger, said, there's this amazing book that we have to read, and it was called Blowback, and it dealt with the bases that we had all over the country, all over the world, and the anger that they were generating was going to come back to haunt us. Chalmers Johnson was the author, but anyhow, we got involved in that. And we had teach-ins about it. So we dealt with the bases in Latin America, in Africa, the Pacific. We learned, in the process of doing it, we learned a great deal.
Right.
And one of the big problems, yes, I mean, people would talk about, rape, you know, in the Okinawa bases, and that was an overt thing. But again, another kind of hidden under the radar was the pollution and the destruction of the natural land around the bases. So, what you're saying.
And the natural water as well.
Yeah. So what JK is talking about, that is rife in every base.
It got into the groundwater, seeped into the towns nearby, and they lived in the center of the whole thing, where the worst of it was.
And, you know, as we know, water is life, as the Native Americans say. That really is it. So.
And you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York, 99.5 FN and WBAI.org. We're here every other Tuesday from 8 to 9 between Teokas and Ghost Horse and Out FM. I'm Ken Gale.
Donna Stein.
J.K. Canepa.
And I'm Nydia this evening, But the main thing that I see as exciting is that we must resist as a group. We have to, we talked about connecting dots, Ken, you and I, And that is really what is going to bring everything together. We have to. Extinction Rebellion, which is both in the UK, very, very active here in New York. In fact,
it's also active in a lot of countries in Europe.
It's all over. Yeah. My daughter, who is just coming back from France, sent me a photograph of the Extinction Rebellion flyer that she saw there. But they did, here in New York last January, the most brilliant action I've ever seen. And I've been active. I grew up an activist because my father was exiled from the Dominican Republic for activity against Trujillo. But that's that. I'm not going to go into that. But the activities that the Extinction Rebellion did were, well, they don't let you know when you gather what's going to happen. So we met at 59th Street in front of the Plaza Hotel there, right? And the Reverend Billy was there, and they did some nice kind of warm-up things. It was January, it was cold. Mm-hmm. And I started to get quite cold, and then they said, we're going to walk down Fifth Avenue. And I was with a friend, we walked along, and we walked down past 57th, and we start to go down toward 50th, and I thought, I'm getting really cold. Where are we going to stop walking? We got to Rockefeller Center. We made a right turn down the Channel Gardens there, and the instructions had been that if you were willing to do civil disobedience, you should stay at the rear. I did not want to risk being arrested, so I wasn't going to do that. But as we turned, there was the Rockefeller Center skating rink. And they had timed it so that the rink was clear. The Zamboni, or whatever you call it, had just cleaned the ice. And a group of Extinction Rebellion people formed their circle with the hourglass in the middle. Yes. Just as a young man was rappelling down the Prometheus statue, this beautiful golden statue that brought fire to Earth, you know, the whole symbolism of it. And then the big banner of climate emergency, which I then ended up holding part of. But it was so thrilling, and I thought, this group knows what's at stake. And their motto is, well, there's three. It's tell the truth, demand action, and go beyond politics. Create a sense of a citizens' assembly, that you go beyond that. For me, it's thrilling, it's exciting, and it is worth all of our energies to work for it. So that's where I'm at.
They just had an amazing event a couple of days ago where 50 activists were arrested blocking the West Side Highway. And so, I mean, they are doing some amazing work to help stop climate crisis, and they're connecting the dots all over the world.
Yeah, yeah. They also blocked off 8th Avenue at one point on a Saturday.
And several bridges in London.
Yes, yeah.
So, and the point of all this activism and civil disobedience is to bring attention. It's not the news media outlets only care about what happened today. You do some great event, you're not going to rest on it. The world just needs more information all the time. The media needs more information all the time. And, you know, we got to make media work for us.
Well, that's why BAI is so important. I mean, yesterday morning, Heidi Boghossian had a wonderful professor, Nancy McLean, who wrote a book that if you haven't read it, you must. Democracy in Chains, where this woman discovered the trail that began the day after the 1954 Brown versus Board of Education decision was passed. This is a real racist who said, we've got to stop this. And he was a brilliant economist, and so he had a certain amount of clout in the academic circles. So in Virginia, he set up a whole center that covered everything. It meant, it gave it sort of spawned the American ALEC, the American Legislative Council, right? It worked with the the John Birch Society. One of the founders of the John Birch Society was the father of the Koch brothers. So it's that whole lineage, right? She has all this information in her book. And this professor, this economist, James Buchanan, outlined exactly how to proceed to take control. And that this is what we're seeing now. Yes, Donald Trump is our president now, and he's a racist and a narcissist and a monster. But there's been this whole buildup that the day after 1954, the Board of Education decision goes back.
Well, yeah. Agent Orange is not the cause. He's the expression of the disease that we're...
Absolutely.
Back in when was aspartame uncovered?
Do you know that story? Yeah. See, when I lived in California, I was the education director for a food co-op, and it still exists. But there were a number of food co-ops in those days that no longer exist. Aspartame was developed as a rodenticide, very sweet. The FDA, after many, many appeals to approve it, always said no.
Because it caused brain tumors.
It destroyed the myelin sheath of the nerves. It had all kinds of problems. But they refused to authorize it. Donald Rumsfeld was then the head of Searle Laboratories. The day after Ronald Reagan was elected and inaugurated in January, he approved it. The FDA approved it.
And
so aspartame is banned in Europe, as far as I know.
And Searle went on to become Monsanto.
Possibly,
yes.
Probably. I wouldn't be surprised.
I would think that was about 82, because I remember thinking, oh, wow. Something sweet that's not going to make me fat. So I went on a diet, root beer diet, and I broke out in rashes all over my body. So now I am the canary in the coal mine. I can't even take a sip of something with aspartame in it without my ears tingling. It's so bad for people. But it didn't fulfill its promise for me.
Yeah, no. In fact, I've made enemies by saying to them, "Don't drink diet soda.
Oh my God!
Drink the real stuff. Don't drink anything with aspartame.
Water with a little apple juice in it. You're very happy."
Yeah.
Nita, when I first met Alexandria, it was at an event, a panel at the Salvation Army, and you were one of the panelists, and you spoke very eloquently about what the military is doing to our air and water. Go into some of that now.
Well, I mean, they have carte blanche because they have this enormous budget that is given to them. And actually, there's an article in the Nation magazine about the way the military is the only federal agency since 1990 when the law was passed. 1990, every federal agency was supposed to prepare an auditable budget, a report to the government. Every agency has done it except the Pentagon. So they have unlimited money. And with that, they have set up, we know there's at least 800 military bases, foreign military bases all over the world. They can just be a depot with a lot of equipment, or it can be a massive one where the Marines have a golf course, and the military soldiers have a golf course, and the people are shut out, whatever. This is what they have done. And in the process, they have alienated so many people. This was the Chalmers Johnson book, there would be this blowback, so that in Okinawa, for instance, which has most of the U.S. military bases in Japan, the people have been fighting for decades. There's an absolutely pristine bay in the north part of Okinawa called Henoko, which has all these amazing creatures that are endangered. They have dugongs, they're called. They're kind of mammal. That's their home. That bay is their home. And the U.S. is insisting on expanding a base, and it's being fought over. The governor has said no. The people have said no. The U.S. is saying yes. But look, Shinzo Abe, who is the Prime Minister of Japan, is more concerned about the 2020 Olympics taking place in Japan than he is about anything else. He clearly misrepresented to the Olympic Committee that everything was going to be fine from Fukushima. And we know that that's not the case.
Yeah.
Far from it.
Yeah. And here are these Olympic athletes talking about what is happening with the Olympics Committee, you know. At any rate, that's a whole other thing. But the military has such a chokehold on our budget. And there's an interesting thing happening here in New York, where 10 city council members have introduced, it's a resolution, as they call it. It will be to take some of the $25 billion that New York City taxpayers give to the military every year and bring some of that back to New York. Reduce the military budget. Move the money into the needs that we have here so that we can define security in terms of domestic priorities, not security because of a bigger weapon. I mean, I think that's some of what I talked about at that forum. But what I also encourage your listeners to think about is our Children's Trust, the lawsuit that these 21 plaintiffs have filed. It's been working its way. They started out as kids, but now they're in their 20s.
You know, right, it took so long. Right.
It's taking, yeah. They were teenagers, and now they're in their 20s. But, in June, some filings, because this is how it sort of wends its way. They filed all these papers, and we'll hear, we hope, soon, some kind of a decision. But what they're asking for is a concept that goes back to Roman times of the public trust, that a government... And this was the Emperor Justinian. We tend to think of emperors as cruel beings, but he said that we who are the rulers need to provide clean air, clean water, clean soil for the future. That is the trust that is imposed on us. And so that's what these kids have picked up on. And we've got to keep hoping that what they need is some attention paid to them. Again, we're back to BAI and its function. You know, should I tell you about meeting Lou Schweitzer?
Yeah, and you're listening to Ecologic on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I am Ken Gale.
Donna Stein.
J.K. Canepa.
Nydia Leaf.
And as you can tell, Nydia is incredibly knowledgeable, incredibly active, and can go to different events and realize how those events are connected, where a lot of people go to those events, just sort of, they go to this event and ignore everything else that's going on. And we really can't. It's all the same enemy. We should all be friends. We're not competing with each other. And I love that there's people like Nydia Leaf in this world, and that WBAI can shine a light on people like Nydia Leaf or Gary Shaw that we did a few weeks ago.
And who we're going to honor at the New York City Friends of Clearwater Water Festival on Sunday at the Lower East Side Ecology Center.
It's very important that BAI exists because even though Nidia and JK and Donna and I are not doing this for personal recognition, it should be there over and above a politician or an entertainer. Yes, I like entertainment too, but it's you know, some of the success stories that everybody here tells makes me feel a lot better than any one of those songs do.
And with all respect, I'd rather hear about Nita Leaf than Miley Cyrus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you flatter me, Ken, but I'm old, and that gives me a lot of years of accruing information, you know.
Haven't stopped accruing that information.
But what's another exciting thing is that next year is BAI's 60th birthday, and that's really significant.
Yeah.
I met Lou Schweitzer, who acquired the license from Broadcast Associates, Inc., BAI. I met him, I was 19. I went to Hunter College, and in those days, it was free. I mean, this is what Bernie is talking about, you know, among Bernie Sanders. We need free public education. I got a great education. I took a course. It was called Theater Workshop, and we had three amazing teachers. One of them was going to be stage managing a show the summer of 1951. Up in Connecticut. It was then called the White Barn Theater. It was owned by Lou Schweitzer. Lou Schweitzer and his brother perfected the paper that goes around cigarettes. And they became millionaires, which in those days was a lot of money.
Right.
And his wife was an actress. So he turned the barn on their property in Connecticut into a theater. My professor at Hunter was going to be the stage manager that summer of a play. And because I was doing theater production at Hunter, he asked, would I be the assistant? And I said, yes. So I had to meet Lou Schweitzer for an interview. I was 19. It was in the Chrysler Building. It was a very rainy kind of a night. And his office was in the penthouse of the Chrysler Building. So it was taking one elevator, and you got to take another elevator. And I was very nervous. And he was so down to earth. He was such a nice man. And anyhow, you know, I signed this contract to work that summer. And it was wonderful. That was 51. In 59, he bought the license for WBAI and gave it to Pacifica that Lou Hill had started. And his concern, of course, because of his wife, was theater and the arts and music. He subsequently bought the DeLise Theater, which is still in Greenwich Village today. It's called the Lortel. That was his wife's name. But even before he did the production, right, that I worked on, and the White Barn did a number of things. He also had a program for people who were coming out of prison to give them work, to find employment for them. He had a wonderful vision.
And like an early Fortune Society.
Yeah. It was before that even. Yeah. Fortune Society was David Rothenberg.
Yeah.
Another
theater person.
All these things that come together that BAI is responsible for. And I hope that next year for its 60th birthday, there is some big do that celebrates all these amazing things that BAI stands for.
Pacifica got WBAI FM in January of 1960. So it's just a few months.
Yeah.
It'll be the 60th anniversary. Yeah, we did stuff for the 50th. I remember that.
Yeah, it's...
I haven't heard anything.
But I think the last 10 years have been more precarious in our world. So yeah. So it's more important than ever, yeah, to celebrate. Yeah, yeah.
You are listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. If you came in the middle of this show, you can hear all of it by going to WBAI.org 5 or 10 minutes after it ends. All of our shows are archived. So if you missed anything, or if you have friends from out of town who are like, oh, they should be hearing what Nidia is saying, they can hear the whole show 5 or 10 minutes after 9, and they can hear everything. So no matter where they live, anywhere in the world, they can go on the internet and listen to this show or any other WBAI show.
I just want to say that usually Don and I have a lot to say.
But well, we just want to listen. Yeah, something came to my mind when you were saying, Nidia, when you were saying about the emperor and that people don't hear about that. Oh, my God. Even back in the day, the news wanted to report the bad stuff. We hear all about the emperors that are gluttonous and debauchery and all this horrible stuff, but we don't hear enough about the people from the past that did good work. I know a woman that was trying to do a film about a Middle Eastern what would be a multi-billionaire today, who was a leader whose family was a rainbow family. He had people from all different generations. I'm sorry his name escapes me for the moment because she didn't make the movie. She was squashed at every point because he was promoting unity between Arabs and Jews and Muslim and Mongolians and we never hear, his name is on the tip of my tongue. And you never hear about this great ruler, this great wealthy man, because you don't hear about the good stuff. There's no good news in that. So even back centuries ago, they were still squashing, they wanted to hear the sensational stuff. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. And the media today is even worse because they're selling products all the time. They don't want to have people think about anything serious because maybe they won't go out and be consumers.
But there's some really good reporters out there. We've run into them. We're working with some of them in the, fighting fossil fuel infrastructure. It's the papers that they work for that sometimes get in the way. The reporters tell us we'd really like to get this story out. We have to find an outlet. And they stay with the story. So they're out there. They are. And all power to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Abby Luby was covering Indian Point for the Gannett Westchester newspapers, and they got rid of that. But she hasn't stopped covering Indian Point.
Right. Maybe it's time to stop buying papers, cutting
people
trees.
People have been.
That's already been happening.
Yeah, that's been happening.
I mean, all better. Then we need net neutrality. Then we figured it out.
Right, yeah.
Well, Glenn Goodman, with The Intercept, he had exposed everything about Bolsonaro in Brazil. You'd think that would tumble him, that there would be all these repercussions in Brazil, but it's not happening.
Interesting.
But no, he he's been threatened.
You think it's because that the people who oppose him are afraid that they will be killed if they come out?
Who knows what entrenched groups there are in those countries. I don't know Brazil that well. But that Brazil is such a key country because of the Amazon.
The lungs of the world.
Ooh, yeah.
And they're getting rid of a football field worth of area a day or something?
Well, with Bolsonaro, we've taken a big step backwards as far as rainforest protection and that is a 17% of greenhouse gases. That wood, because not only do they extract the wood, but they only take part of a tree, a very prime tree, with the perfect ipé or mahogany or whatever. No mahogany in New York, but they extract the center of the tree and they leave the rest of it lying on the ground. And to get to the tree, if it's an ipé, for instance, what our boardwalks are covered with. To get to the tree, they cut down 20 other trees just to get to it, to build the road.
It's a sin.
So that's one of the reasons there's so many greenhouse gases, not only these trees that are being taken, but everything that happens to the trees and what's in those trees. The most amazing, unbelievable diversity. We don't know how many species of beetles there are on this planet. We have no idea.
So the trees go from absorbing carbon dioxide from the atmosphere to giving it off because they're being burnt or rotted.
And then there's the mega dam down there that's not only giving off carbon dioxide, but when you submerge the trees, they give off methane, which is, we know that, right? Methane is really, really bad for the climate, 86 times.
Well, 120 times worse when it's first emitted.
That's right, yeah.
And 120 times worse than carbon dioxide, which, you know, we hear about a lot. I mean, people listening to Ecologic probably have heard about, you know, carbon dioxide, terrible greenhouse gas. Methane is 120 times worse when it's first emitted.
Right. And it's constantly being first emitted, right?
Yeah, right.
As long as you're fracking or deforesting, there's constant...
Yeah, leaking through the pipelines.
Your cows are burping or whatever is going on, right? So that's one of the problems we're facing fighting the fossil fuel industry is that the companies will... National Grid said that the Williams Pipeline was actually good for the environment because it replaced carbon dioxide. What they left out was... Yeah, what does it replace carbon dioxide with?
Right, methane.
Methane.
It is amazing what they managed to get away with and how they greenwash themselves. And, you know, we mentioned that, you know, the Pentagon doesn't have to obey environmental regulations. But if they do anything with renewable energy, they tout it. So they're very good at greenwashing themselves. And that's something else we have to watch out for, and that's something I try to do in Ecologic all the time, is expose the greenwashing. Because if a company does one good thing and 100 bad things, then we should not emphasize that one good thing over the other 100, as the mass media will. And we are coming to the end of the show. We've got just a few minutes left. It's amazing how quickly the time goes when you get to talk to somebody like Nidia Leaf.
No, I just realized I said Glenn. I meant to say Glenn Greenwald, and I said Glenn Goodman. Glenn Goodman is a friend of my son's. So I apologize, Glenn Greenwald.
Well, he'll be glad you mentioned him.
Yeah. By the way, you have a great last name.
Oh, yes, with a name like Leaf.
You didn't make it up.
Right.
No, it's for real.
I have a friend named whose last name is Green, so his parents named him Leaf.
And that's something that's not done as often anymore. But are there any organizations or websites you want to point everybody to, Nidia?
Well, Extinction Rebellion, for sure. The group that Alexandria Villaseñor has, and that is strikewithus.org. And then, of course, there's 350.org and Greenpeace. And this is in the ecological, there's the Sunrise Movement. There's just so many wonderful out there. In the peace movement, of course, there's the Granny Peace Brigade and Peace Action. And, of course, the Quakers, American Friends Service Committee. Catholic Worker. We're really so fortunate in New York City. It's like a wonderful repository for amazing people and wonderful work. And WBAI.
Thank you, Nidia, for coming on to Ecologic today. Of course, 1 hour isn't enough time to spend with you, but that's what we got, and I'm glad we got it.
Thank you, Ken, Donna, JK, thank you. Fun to be here. Important to be here, too.
And coming up next is Out FM, so you want to stay tuned for that. And at your leisure, go to WBAI.org and listen to Ecologic. They just go to 8 o'clock on August 13th. You can hear this entire show. You can download it, play it for your friends.
Bye, folks. See you on Sunday. Ken and I will be in Lower East Side Ecology Center.
Yep. And tomorrow, come to Rockville Center.
Share this thing called life. Celebrate each day's rebirth. So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
hi, I'm Ken Gale of WBAI's Tuesday evening environmental show, Ecologic. One of the cool things about being a BAI buddy is that you get to decide what WBAI is worth to you. Are we worth more than your cable TV? Or 10 bucks a month? 20, 100, a million? Just go to the WBAI.org website and sign up with your credit card. You'll barely notice it. In return, you get a WBAI tote bag to show off, free or discounted entry to special WBAI events, and other perks. Another cool thing about being a BAI buddy is less fundraising interruptions to your favorite programs. Go to WBAI.org. You can donate in the name of your favorite show, like Ecologic.
We need a black political agenda that includes a fight against gentrification and an economic bill of rights for a living wage, for housing as a human right, for health care for all, for an end to student debt, and free tuition. Power to the people.
All right. Larry Ham. Larry Ham. All right.
Ham is chair of the People's Organization for Progress. He spoke at the Newark Town Hall on gentrification, organized by Dr. Ron Daniels. This is listener-sponsored non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI New York at 99.5 FM, streaming at WBAI.org. Danny Miller, a 17-year-old slam team member of Split This Rock, performed at the Poor People's Campaign.
I'm tired of writing poems about oppression. I'm probably just as tired of writing them as you are of hearing them, but we both aren't as tired as people forced to live in poverty day in and day out, as residents of Flint who are still being poisoned, as children texting their parents goodbye from under a school desk, as kids being detained and separated from their families at the border, as people forced to protest as a means of protecting their own humanity. I'm tired of writing poems about oppression, and that is why I keep writing them.
This is listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI New York. listener-sponsored non-commercial WBAI Pacifica Radio in New York is holding open debates of issues facing the station and the network. The forums are with all WBAI local station board members, LSB members, current staff, and listener members, as well as those currently running to join the LSB. You are invited to participate in the discussions. That's Sundays at 2 p.m. on August 25th, September 8th, and on September 22nd.